Good morning and welcome to Under the Olive Tree. You are listening to CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. Under the Olive Tree is the Palestinian Community Radio Show. Today is Thursday, March the 2nd, 2006. The hour is 11. I'm your host, Leif Maarouf, and I will be with you till noon as usual. Under the Olive Tree is more than just a community radio show. We have two reasons for our existence. The first, to provide the space, the equipment, and the know-how to the Palestinian youth in order for them to reach our second goal, to produce content that truly represents the community. If you have any questions or you'd like to join our production team, please email us at uot@ckut.ca. Again, that's uot@ckut.ca. Or give us a call at our landline, area code 514-398-6788. Again, that's area code 514-398-6788. On today's show, we have two interviews. The first is with Gideon Levy, renowned Israeli journalist from Haaretz Daily in Israel, who is touring Canada starting from today in Ottawa. He is touring with the Human Rights Media Institute. The tour starts in Ottawa on Thursday today and will move to Montreal tomorrow. He will be speaking in McGill University. The address is Leacock, room number 26, 7 p.m. That's the address is 855 Sherbrooke West, and it is co-sponsored by CKUT Radio McGill, the McGill Daily, Paju, Montreal Planet, and SBHR McGill. Gideon Levy will also have another event on Saturday. It is a dinner reception at Alternative, 3720 Du Parc Street at 6 p.m., and it will be by donation. There will be great homemade food and drinks. Our second interview for the day is with Zuleikha Muhtasib, who was scheduled to speak at the International Women's Day commemoration events happening this weekend at Concordia University. The lecture was supposed to happen at H110 on Saturday, March 4th, between 10 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Those are many events that are going to be there. Zuleikha was scheduled to speak with Jeanette Apollon, president of the Haitian Women Workers Commission in Haiti, Sandra Moran, the National Women's Forum Guatemala, and Filipino Women's Center Vancouver. Zuleikha has been having problems with her ability to come here. There has been many obstacles put in her way by the Israeli government, whether around her visa or her ticket. We will listen to that beautiful interview again at the end of the show. But to remind everybody, Mr. Gideon Levy will be touring Canada. He will be speaking in Ottawa today, Montreal tomorrow, and Saturday. Sunday, he will be speaking in Nova Scotia. And Monday, he will be speaking in Ryerson. Tuesday, in McMaster. And Wednesday in University of Western Ontario. To get more details on this tour, please visit humanrightsmedia.org. Again, that's humanrightsmedia.org or sphr.org. Both of these websites have the full details on the tour. Before we get to the interviews, we will listen to one beautiful tune by Al Auda music group that came a year and a half ago from Palestine to perform around Canada, and the tune is titled Al Shab Al Miskin, the poor people. Thank you.
I'm gonna
We're listening to the Palestinian folkloric music group Al-Awda singing Al-Sha'ab Al-Miskeen, the poor peoples. We will move now to the interview with a world-renowned journalist, Gideon Levy, who is touring Canada starting from today. He is going to be speaking, as we said before, in Ottawa, Montreal, Halifax, Toronto, Hamilton, and London. If you'd like more details on this tour, please visit www.humanrightsmedia.org or sphr.org, whichever of the websites. Today we have with us Mr. Gideon Levy, renowned journalist from Israel's Daily Haaretz. Mr. Levy will be on his first visit to Canada on a tour with the Human Rights Media Institute. The tour will start on Thursday, March 2nd in Ottawa. He will be speaking in Montreal on the 3rd and 4th, in Toronto on the 6th and the 7th, and finally in London on the 8th. To find out more about the tour, visit www.sphr.org. Mr. Levy, welcome to our show.
Thank you so much.
Mr. Levy, as a writer to one of the largest Israeli dailies, your reporting on the human rights condition in the occupied territories constantly takes you to the front lines. Why is this important to you, and why is it that so few Israeli journalists report from within the occupied territories?
For me, it is important because I want to prevent any kind of situation in which Israelis, or at least the readers of Haaretz, will be ever be able to say that they didn't know, that they don't know what is being done on their behalf in the occupied territories. So my modest contribution is to try to inform them what really is happening half an hour away from their homes, 1 hour away from their homes, things that they don't know and mainly things that they don't want to know. And therefore so very few Israeli journalists are going there because so very few Israelis want to know what is really going on under this very, very brutal occupation.
Mr. Levy, in Israel, you and your colleague of Haaretz, Ms. Amira Haas, worked tirelessly to cover the situation from a human rights perspective. How do you believe this fits in your role as a journalist in society?
I don't want to use big words, and usually I don't like to use big words or big terms. For me, it is a journalistic mission, nothing more than this, without any bigger expectations, mainly to inform from the field, from the places where things are taking place, the reality as it is seen from there, pure journalistic mission, nothing more than this. Now, values of human rights and things like this are highly appreciated by me, but I don't think I serve any other value before trying to be a professional journalist. A journalist with a point of view, maybe, a journalist with a mission that I took upon myself, but only a journalist, nothing more than a journalist.
Mr. Levy, on your first tour to Canada, you will be speaking on democracy and the occupation. How do you plan to address this to a North American audience who rarely get to read reports like yours covering the human rights situation of Palestinians?
I will address it the same way that I address it to Israeli audiences, namely that you can't be half pregnant and you can't be half democratic. And a democracy cannot be considered democracy as long as it has such a cruel and brutal occupation for so many years in its own backyard. So what is true for Israeli audiences, I'm sure, will be true for Canadian audiences who maybe consider Israel as the only democracy in the Middle East, which is true in a way, but cannot be fully true as the occupation goes on.
Given that you are speaking to the issue of democracy and the occupation, what is the work of a journalist within this topic?
First of all, I must tell you that Israel, as it usually being called the only democracy in the Middle East, is a democracy in the way that it enables us, Israeli Jewish journalists, to work in a very, very free environment, and really to write whatever we want and to reach any the occupation, which must be mentioned because it's not, it shouldn't be taken for granted. And it's not like this in any other countries and regimes, even not in the West countries. I saw how American journalists were forced to cover the Iraqi war. I think we should be proud about the way that we can cover the occupation. The problem is that most of us do not want to cover the occupation, but this has nothing to do with democracy. I think that my main argument will be that, like, you can't be half pregnant, unfortunately so, you can't be half democratic. You can't be a democracy only for the Jews living in Israel, and not for over 2 million Palestinians who live in the occupied territories. A state, a regime who run such a brutal occupation for so many years, 38 if to be precise, cannot be considered as a full democracy. The work is only to inform, inform, and inform. That's the main work of a journalist. I do write also editorials at least once a week in which I try to convince or try to explain my views. But for me, the main job is really to inform the Israeli readers about what is being done on their behalf under the occupation. That's the main role, and that's the main role of any journalist anywhere.
The election results for the Palestinian Authority were claimed to be a surprise for the Israeli government and the United States government. Given all the time you spent among the Palestinians, did this come as a surprise to you?
No, it didn't come as a surprise. It came maybe as a surprise, maybe in the quantity, in the big majority. I was expecting a smaller majority for the Hamas, or even not the majority. But it was very clear that their power will increase. And the problem is not the statistics. The problem is to understand the meaning of those elections. And people who think that this means that the Palestinians are becoming fundamentalistic now, like Iran, don't miss the whole point, because this was mainly a vote of protest, a protest against the PLO, who in a way misled their people, who didn't achieve and they didn't present real achievements for their own people, who seemed to be corrupted in a way. And people looked for an alternative, and the only alternative around was the Hamas, which seems to be much cleaner. So we shouldn't, as people, many people in the United States and in Israel, and maybe in Canada also, we shouldn't fall into this trap and think that here we go, we have another Iranian regime in Palestine. The only thing is that we shouldn't push them into the corner, so only Iran will be the only supporting state in the world. Then they might really become a pro-Iranian regime, which is not good for anybody.
The elections coming up in Israel, we have the new party Kadima with Sharon in his vegetation. What do you expect from these elections, given all the war talk that is happening in the region of the Middle East?
One shouldn't expect too much from the elections, because Kadima is going to win, which means more of the same. And unfortunately, I do not have big expectations. Not much is going to change.
Mr. Levy, most of our listeners do not know of your history prior to your amazing writings. You were an aide and a spokesperson for former Israeli Prime Minister Shimon Peres from 1978 to 1982. Can you tell us how you moved from working for the Israeli government to covering its human rights violations?
First, I moved from politics to journalism, and then I moved from my quite central or moderate attitude toward very radical ones. And this happened only after I started to travel to the occupied territories and started to witness really the cruelty and the brutality of the occupation. So I got there really in a very gradual process, one journey after the other, realizing that a big tragedy is taking place so next to our homes, and most of us don't know about it. Therefore, I found myself in the place that I'm being right now or for the last 20 years.
Gideon Levy, Israeli columnist for Haaretz Daily, will be touring Canada starting from Thursday, March 2nd. He will be speaking in Ottawa, Montreal, Toronto, and London. To learn more about the tour, please visit www.sphr.org. Mr. Levy, thank you very much for being with us, and good luck on your tour.
Thank you so much.
That was Gideon Levy speaking about the problems now in Palestine, Israel, and the issues that he is going to talk about in his lecture tour to Canada, his first visit ever. Again, visit www.sphr.org or humanrightsmedia.org website. Both of these websites have more details. We will listen to another tune by Al Auda Folkloric Palestinian Group, and it's called Aten, It Is Coming.
No.
Palestinian folkloric group with a song called Atin, It Is Coming. Now we will listen to the interview with Zulaykha Muhtasib, the Palestinian activist from Hebron City. She was scheduled to speak this Saturday at Concordia University at room H110 at 12 o'clock in the afternoon. We have no idea if she's going to be able to make it since she has been facing problems with her visa and her airplane ticket. We listen to the interview. We have with us Zulaykha Muhtasib from Hebron that is coming to speak in Montreal, hopefully on the Saturday. Zulaykha, welcome to our show.
Oh, thank you very much. I'm so glad to be on your show from Hebron.
Could you introduce yourself to our listeners and the city you are living in, Hebron?
Yes. Actually, I'm... a field worker, also an activist in different things. I do teaching. I have lots of programs for women and children. I have a small center, the Ibrahimi Center for Social Development, where I usually teach and do these programs for women and children. For women, we do lots of things, psychological support, literacy, social work with them. With the children, we also do psychological support, remedial classes in different things, different topics for school. We have a homework assistance program in the afternoon also. And these are mostly our programs in the center. I also cooperate with different organizations. I live in the old city, the old city of Hebron, which is really very special because... it's the part of conflict between the Palestinians and the Israelis. Both sides say that it's their city, so each side is trying to take control over this part of the city. But of course, the settlers, the Israelis, are taking more control over it than the Palestinians do because they have the army with them, they have all the power with them, so they are controlling the whole city. Our city in general, Hebron, has about 150,000 people living in it, but as a district, we have about 500,000 living there. So it's a big city, and also it's a very important city because it's industrial, and we do a lot of business in our city, and like shoemaking, leather, tanneries. We have stone factories, different things.
Could you talk more about the life in Hebron, your life in Hebron as a young woman, and how it is now different as a social activist in this divided city?
Well, when I grew up in Hebron, it was totally different from what it is now, because although we had the occupation since 67, I used to move around freely, more freely than it is now. We didn't have roadblocks. We didn't have soldiers and checkpoints everywhere like it is now. You can say that from 94 or a little bit before till now, we have been experiencing lots of checkpoints being set up on different places in the old city, just to restrict the movements of the Palestinians. Of course, none of the Israelis is subject to any searching or anything. But it's only the Palestinians that usually get searched every day, or sometimes twice, three times a day. It depends on how much they go through the same checkpoint or different checkpoints, and the mood of the soldiers. As a social worker, living with the people and listening to their problems and to their fears, to their feelings, it's really very sad, because when I meet with the families, I go inside their homes, and most of the time they complain about how bad life is, how complicated it gets, and how difficult it becomes. The fathers have no work, there's no stable income for the family, and so this is the major problem. Of course, this affects the children and the mothers as well, because when the father is jobless and he's unable to earn a living, he's unable to pay the expenses of the family, it's a big problem. The children will start looking at him as, why are you like this? And of course, the children will not understand that it's the general situation, but they try to live with it.
Can you speak about the situation of children in the city and the work that you and the Christian Peacemakers team do to help them?
Yeah, actually the children in the old city are the most victimized part, because we've been living under curfew for a long time, and those who go to schools are all the time checked. Even the very little ones, they get checked almost every day on their way to school and back home. And so when I do my programs with them, I try to absorb their aggression or their anger, try to compensate them a little bit. With the CPT, we started what they do now, the school patrol. When the soldiers, of course, imposed the curfew on the old city in 2000, and we started the school patrols in 2001, trying to help the children to go to school, because they were unable to go to school for a long time. And when they did try to go to school, of course, the soldiers will yell at them, and they will get attacked by the settlers as well. So accompanying them to school gave them a lot of courage, a lot of support, a lot of hope for the future.
You worked with the Christian Peacemaker team since 97. Can you speak about the mandate of this organization and the achievements over the last decade or so?
Actually, this organization is here from 95, and since they came till now, I don't think that they have changed a lot, but they help many families by reporting their suffering to the world of course, this affects the Israelis very much. And the decisions, the land confiscation or home demolition, because the Israelis do not like anybody to observe what they are doing and to tell the world that they are doing bad things or wrong things. So, you know, CPT is doing a good job telling the world what's happening in the old, in Hebron in general and in West Bank. Their mandate here is just as observers. They do their job, of course, from the belief or from the faith that they have that Jesus wants peace all over the world. So they try to make peace by nonviolence in the city. Of course, they mostly support the Palestinians because they are the ones that are oppressed. They try to support the settlers, but the settlers all the time attack them and call them Nazis, and so it's mostly the Palestinians that they help.
You were scheduled to speak this Saturday, March the 4th, at the events organized in Montreal for the International Women's Day. There's a possibility you will not make it to Montreal. Can you explain to our listeners what is happening?
What is happening is that there was a delay in receiving the letter of invitation. It's not because the university did not send it on time, but maybe there was a mistake in the address. Although I gave them an address and they said they sent the letter to that one, but I haven't received it. So this delay, and also being unable to get to Israel, to the Canadian embassy, to apply, that was also another problem. And the procedure or the working on the visas also takes a long time. In the past, it used to take one day to get a visa, but now sometimes it takes a month or two to get a visa. And with these complications, I don't understand why.
And I heard something about your airplane ticket.
Yeah, actually, Freda called me yesterday and said that there was something about my ticket. Because I'm Palestinian, when she sent it by FedEx, the ticket was taken to the security department, something, to be checked. And that was another delay also. About an hour ago, I received a phone call from my friends in Jerusalem. They said that they received the ticket.
For people that were hoping to hear your presentation on Saturday, can you summarize what you were planning to contribute for our listeners?
Yeah, actually I was going to talk about the women's life in Hebron in general and in the old city especially, and the work we do with the women, and also to talk about the work of other organizations and the cooperation between me and these organizations in improving the lives of women in Hebron, especially in the old city. That was in general what was I was going to talk about.
As a Palestinian woman, what do you think is important to reflect on as we commemorate this year's International Women's Day?
It's important for Palestinian women, actually, to feel that people in the world are supporting them, at least emotionally. Also, I hope that there is something to be done to improve the lives of women in Palestine.
Do you have anything that you would like to add to our listeners, or any messages that you'd like to send to the conference on Saturday if you don't make it?
Yeah, actually, the main thing or the main demand for me and for the Canadian people and for the government also, that they keep support the Palestinians as they did in the past. That's one thing. And for the government, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, to facilitate things for the Palestinians, traveling, for immigration, for whatever, to do something for them. For the Canadian government to support our government now to be with them, not to be against them, because this will impact the Palestinians in general if they are against the government.
Thank you very much, Zulaikha Muhtasib, for being with us on the show. I hope you will make it to Montreal and we will hear your presentation. Again, thank you.
Thank you very much for calling, and thank you for giving me this chance to talk to the Canadian people. I hope this will make a difference in the lives of the Palestinians and in the relations between the Palestinians and the Canadians.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. That was Zulaikha Muhtasib from Hebron City in Palestine, speaking to the issues of the problems in Hebron and what she was going to present this Saturday at Concordia University, part of the International Women's Day commemorations happening in Montreal. She is still scheduled to speak at 12 o'clock on Saturday in H110. If there's any problems, it will be on the hands of the Israeli aggressors, as all the problems of Palestinians are. We will listen to one last song by Al Auda Palestinian Folkloric Group, and it's called Yamma Wain Al Hawa, Mother, Where Is the Love?
Thank you.
Al-Auda Palestinian folkloric band singing a tune titled Yamma Wain Al-Hawa, Mother, Where Is the Love? This brings us to the end of our show. If you have any questions or you'd like to join our production team, please email us at uot@ckut.ca or give us a call at area code 514-398-6788. Again, I encourage you all to come out to the Gideon Levy events happening in Ottawa, Montreal, Nova Scotia, Toronto, Hamilton, and London, Ontario. The events in Montreal are happening tomorrow and Saturday. The first one on Friday will be in Leacock Room 26 at 7 o'clock p.m. Tomorrow on Friday, and the Saturday event is in Alternatives Building. It's 3720 Du Parc at 6 o'clock, and it's a dinner by donation. If you'd like more details on this tour, visit www.humanrightsmedia.org or sphr.org. Each of these websites have many more details. Again, thank you for being with us this week on our show. I'm your host, Laith Maarouf. Until we meet next week under the olive tree, I wish you all a free, free Palestine. Thank you.